Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am your beast, Dan Meredith. So what are we talking about today, Jamie?
I don't know why I laughed.
I do, because I know the terrible things you said just before we press record, you fucking gimp. Honestly, like, listener, let me just write, every fucking week for a year of my life, there's a point where there's a joke, and the first couple of times it happens, you laugh. Then it becomes a bit old. Then you're like, will you just fucking stop? And now it's gone on for so long, it literally, if it didn't happen, I would think it was a cry for fucking help. We press record and we get a 5-second countdown, right? And every week I say, fucking don't, just stop it. And within 1 second, he said, 2 seconds maybe, he will say the most offensive possible thing to me. And at the start of every fucking recording, I sat here like a complete gibbon with a stupid look on my face because I'm trying not to laugh because this good-looking muscular twat tries to ruin it every time. So if you ever wonder why I sound like nonsensical at the start, that's fucking why. So fuck you, Jamie, / love you.
So we're talking today, Mr. Meredith, about why doing hard stuff is good for you.
That's what she said.
That's why you wanted this in. That's why you wanted this in, wasn't it, Dan?
I will never tire of that. But no, it was dovetailed off because me and Jay were planning the recordings. We realised that I hadn't actually spoken about Jay's event that I went to as an attendee, which was fucking awesome. And I've done, you know, like, okay, it's not particularly brutal, but we did the cold bath, okay? Like, when I say not particularly brutal, it's not, I'm not being asked to trek across the desert. I'm not under gunfire. I'm not being shelled. I'm not starting, you know, it's not as hard things go. It was voluntarily hard, yeah? But it was something that, even though I've done like the cold showers and stuff before, I wouldn't say I was nervous, but I was kind of like, how am I going to handle it? Because I've seen you do it for all these years and I've never done that full on hardcore just, and I've got to be honest, because part of me was like, right, there's people are videoing this, people are filming this, loads of people know me here. And I was determined not to show anything. And I just thought, fuck it. I got straight in, didn't move and just stayed still for 2 minutes. But you know, was it hard? Yeah, it was, because it wasn't comfortable. It wasn't enjoyable. But I did it. And here's the thing. I actually felt fucking awesome afterwards. I felt really good. The only thing that I didn't do, because Jay was like, we're going for a run. And I went, absolutely fucking not. No, I'm not. I've still got a few mobility issues with my ankle. And I thought, there's no fucking way I'm going to be running up and down here with me one good leg. But other than that, and in my head, I was like, no, it was do the cold bath, then I'm out. You never said anything about cardio. That was not on the list. But I did it. And then, you know, my skin flushed. I felt amazing. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I kind of get it now. And I felt really good for it. And the reason we wanted, there's a couple of reasons I want to talk about doing hard things. Because as of you listening to this, my event is done. I will now be in Center Parcs with my mother and sister. I will probably be in the Jardin de Sport playing badminton and or going to the fudge shop and having my daily 250 grams worth of fudge that I do with my mum and sister because it's my fucking holiday as well. But the whole concept of doing hard things, and I've realized I've just said that, is really not a hard thing at all. But putting on the event, all the stress, all the worry, you know, the backing yourself to make it happen, it was something that was hard. But every time I've done something hard, whether it's short term or longer term, the meet afterwards always feels better. I felt immediately better after doing the ice bath. That was an instant, did a hard thing, felt good. The event was a longer term thing, like 2 months or so. It was hard. It's now done. I feel fantastic. I'm really glad I did it, even at times I didn't want to do it. So it's a hard thing I had to do, and I did it. So that's what we want to talk about today, is that, you know, the short-term and the long-term benefits of doing hard things and why doing hard things is good for you.
Yeah, 100%. And it's something so much so that I've written a book on called Hard Stuff, Easy Life. And it's something that I've been saying for many, many years, and people not really understanding it, because, you know, a lot of people will say to me, Jay, why on earth do you jump in that ice bath at 5 o'clock in the morning? And I'm like, because every day I wake up and I don't want to do it. And they're like, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, well, it does make sense when you understand that life is very counterintuitive. And what I mean by that is, once again, it's like, so you mean to tell me if you do that, then your life will be better? Because it sounds like life would be better not doing that. And it's like, well, yeah, in the short term, your life will get better. But one of the things that I do it for is the fact that I don't want to do it. And I tell my brain what to do. Although it wants to give me suggestions of what we should not do, one of the things of doing something like that, the minute that you wake up every single day, is you get good at negotiating with yourself. Mm. And negotiating yourself is basically the fundamentals of discipline. And I always say discipline is doing things regardless of how you feel. So if you listen to that little voice in your head all the time, it's no wonder that you don't do stuff. But you can get better at telling it to shut the fuck up. But you need to practice telling it to shut up. And when you prove yourself time and time again every single day that you're the boss, not your brain, you can get amazing things done. And the whole process of this is what I call training your discipline muscle. Now, you don't have to go and jump in a cold plunge every day, but your version of hard could be, I'm not going to snooze anymore. I normally snooze 3 times. I'm not going to snooze anymore because I could do with that extra 15 minutes up. And when I do have those 15 minutes up, I'm going to challenge myself to do something that I really don't want to do. I don't want to journal and write down my fucking thoughts for 5 minutes because I don't want to know what I'm thinking. You know, it's too painful to really realize that I'm not in the place where I want to be in my life. I'd rather just ignore it and hope that it gets better. And newsflash, it fucking doesn't. So once again, it's very hard to do something very easy. And once again, it also, when I say life is very counterintuitive, easy things are hard to do too. Because we hear people say all the time, if you just do spend 5 minutes a day concentrating on your breath, if you write shit down, if you know, the cold plunge I go in, it takes 2 minutes. We're in for 2 minutes. It takes me 20 minutes to build up the courage that morning to do two. And it's amazing that all of these things don't take long to do, but compounded over time, they will change your life. And you'll get to a point where you go, I can't believe the effects of something so simple.
Yeah. I've had phases of ultra discipline. Like this time last year, I was getting ready for my fight. That was insane levels of discipline. But so much of that has carried on to me now. Like I would say that I got down to 89, sort of like I did a water dehydration. So I got down to like 89 kilos for the fight itself. I'm 6 foot tall. You know, when I carbed up, I was 92. So I was kind of like probably like 92, 93. I'm sort of 95 kilos now. And I've pretty much stayed there. I took all that weight off and it's stayed. I'm stronger, fitter, more flexible, faster. Obviously, I had the break and stuff, but that didn't really slow me down. But every time I've had more discipline in my life and done stuff, that I did not want to do, it bleeds into every single part of my life. And if I spoke about this on a live stream in my coaching group the other day, and I spent a lot of time last year going through, you know, you mentioned on the last podcast you do the Google Photos and stuff, but I went through, you know, my Stripe account, which is like my payment processor, went through my bank accounts, I went through my statements, I went through my credit cards, I went through my social media, through my memories, through my photos, and just basically was looking for correlations of when I was, you know, earning a good wage, helping the most amount of people, making a good impact, having lots of fun, enjoying myself, looking and feeling good, you know, just was looking for traits. And my best periods, and there were decent chunks of time, were always preceded by a robust amount of disciplined behaviors. It was always I was working towards a physical goal or a mental goal or something that I wanted to do, or I just had a really long period of just habits. I did the same things over and over again, consistently, without fail. And then that bled into all the good shit in my life. But, you know, I'm a natural, you know, late starter. I'm not a morning person per se. But when I started to shift my values and thinking, right, well, I say I'm not a morning person. Well, if I keep saying I'm not a morning person, I'm not going to be a morning person. I could be a morning person if I go through a couple of days of discomfort, 2-3 days, go to bed a little bit earlier, get myself an alarm clock and wake up when I say I'm going to. Surprise, surprise, I'm now a morning person. You know, a lot of all this good stuff that you want is on the other side of discipline. And when I shifted how I was sort of sleeping and waking and doing that, I had more time available. That more time, you know, I carved out an extra 2 hours per day in the morning where I do all my creative work. I've kept that up to this day. You know, and bear in mind, right, Jay's idea of a morning person and mine is different. For me, being a morning person is getting up at 7, okay? I could happily be one, you know, my natural cycle is probably midnight 1. If I just didn't have any commitments, it'd be like midnight 1 and probably get up later still. That's me naturally, but I've trained myself to do something. And that's a simple thing. For those of you with kids and dependents, you'll be like, fuck off, Dan. I totally understand it, okay? I get that. But all of the good stuff that I have had in my life, I look at my book, I look at my businesses, if I look at the opportunities I've had, pretty much leading up to that opportunity or that thing or that breakthrough or that period of happiness was a period of discipline beforehand. And I was doing stuff that I didn't necessarily enjoy. And I so identified with that, having arguments with yourself, like literally I used to do the cold showers all the time. And I realized if I didn't just, I used to set a time, it was 5 seconds and it would be like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, step under. If I gave myself any more time than that, I would talk myself out of it. And if you, for what I've realized is, this sounds like I've got some genuine mental issues, which we probably shouldn't unpack on a public podcast. But if I give my brain time, my brain will come up with reasons to stop me doing the thing that I know I should be doing. So I just trick my brain by just doing it straight away. Like, ha, fuck you, beat you to it. I don't know if that makes any fucking sense to anyone listening.
No, funny enough, one of the most viral videos from Mel Robbins. So Mel Robbins, once again, she's a Forbes 50 under 50. She's written goodness knows how many books, about 5 million followers on Instagram. Great person to follow.
Yeah,
she has this
cool
same 5 second rule. 5 second rule. Like, it's like, right, I need to out of bed. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And it's just called her, I think she's called it like, or even the 3, 2, 1 method or the 5, 4, 3 method, she calls it. Anything that you've got to do, you just count down from 5 to 1 and get it done. So yeah, you're not crazy, Mr. Meredith.
I saw it well. It's very kind of
you. It's good to know.
Let's not unpack it too much publicly. But there is a phrase, and it's you know, with my event, I had these. It's quite funny because you can tell how the world's changed before. So my very first ever, I think I did it for my planner launch. So we're going to go back to 2016, I think. And I got a load of merch made. I had some really funny stickers. I had a few bands, you know, the kind of rubber bands people used to wear all the time around the wrists and stuff. But I had these pens. Now, people went fucking mad for these pens because I'd only give them out at events. So you had to come along in person. It'd be in the goodie bag. You'd get something. So you had to come along to either one of my events, masterminds, or come spend some time with me in person. They are like, I think their unit cost was like 18 pence or something like that. It's a small amount of money. But people, I do a competition for one of these pens, right? And people go mental for them. All it says on the side, with an asterisk over the U, I think, was fuck off, I'm working on the side. And everyone loved these pens. And I've kind of changed a few of my brand colors for the new book. So I wanted to get them in the new colors. No one would print them because it was deemed as potentially offensive. So in the last 7 years, 6 years, however long since I've got them done, that's now not done. But I got my other phrase, which, you know, I'm known for, so I kind of put a lot of my content now, which is future you will thank you. And I got that on the pens for the event that I gave out last weekend, because everything that I'm doing, not everything, but a large chunk of what I'm doing now sucks dick. Now, I'll put as a caveat, if you like sucking dick, good on you. The world needs more people like you. Okay. But as a straight man and has never having encountered that, it's also something I don't particularly want to do. So if you were to say that sucks dick, Dan, that's something for that I wouldn't really particularly enjoy. It's not on my to-do list, okay? But a lot of the things I'm doing now are sucking dick. They're not enjoyable. I don't want to do them. They are unpleasant, okay? Me right now, this is going to be snipped so badly. I don't want to suck a dick, but I am sucking a dick. And I deliberately said that because I know this little good-looking fucker here is going to edit all that because he's done one like that of me before. But what I'm saying is I'm doing stuff now that I don't particularly want to do. I'm not necessarily feeling an immediate reward from it. In fact, one area is in business. I'm probably, don't know yet, but probably going to get a downward trend in that particular business before it swings back upward because I'm changing some things around a little bit. I'm aware this is going to happen. I don't want to have a downward trend in that business, but statistically, knowing what I know about business, that's probably going to happen until the new message and the new model is cemented and people start seeing the results and it starts to scale up again. It is uncomfortable. It is unpleasant. I don't want to do these things. But I know that there's a me in the future who'll be reaping the rewards, who will have helped more people, will be happier, will be fitter, will be freer, will be less stressed, will have more money, be able to help my family even more so. All the kind of good stuff. Will be really glad that me right now nibbled on all those cocks. I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it anyway. And that is something that if you haven't sucked the dick, I can't stop saying it now. I'm in a dick loop. But if you haven't sucked the dick and done things you don't want to do for a long period of time, I was just about to say the dick might point the way. I've caught in a dick loop, Jamie. Help me get out. Please, take over from
okay,
me.
Okay, so...
Sorry.
Obviously, that what Dan's talking about is not actual physical. Yeah, it's more of the metaphorical thing. But...
Metaphorical. Most important... I'm sorry. I've honestly, stop. I'm a football okay.
So an old school internet quote is, if you want the things that nobody else has, you've got to do the things that nobody else wants to do. And it's so, so important when it comes to things. It's like, I remind myself sometimes, and for those of you who run businesses or who have run businesses, and you'll probably get this thought once a week. And it's like, just burn it to the ground. Just burn it. Just burn the fucker. Sack everyone. Burn the fucker to the ground. Let's start again. And you stop yourself and you remind yourself, it's like, all of these problems, this is why I'm going to get paid what I'm worth in life. Because I am the person that's dealing with this shit. Everybody else is at home. Everybody else is clocked off. Everybody else is not waking up and going to sleep thinking of this thing. Do not burn it to the ground. Build it up and reap the benefits, because this is your, you know, inverted commas, dick sucking of doing things that people just don't want to do continually every single day. And
thank you for expanding on that. Don't bite. Okay, right. Yeah, firstly, everyone, I got caught in a loop there of just smutty innuendo. So hopefully you took some value from it. But, you know, every time I'm not where I want to be, if I kind of look back, you know, if my physique isn't where I want to be, or my bank balance isn't where I want to be, or my relationships aren't where they want to be, if I just take a moment to just pause and kind of almost look back over the behaviors, the actions, and also the inactions that I've taken over the last 3, 6, 12 months, well, there's often my answer. You didn't show up when you said you were going to do. You know, you didn't get up and do the extra things you were going to do. You missed workouts. You said to yourself, it will be okay to just do this more than a realistic amount of times. You know, if I look back, if I'm, you know, looking at myself where I am now, I'm pretty happy, but there's a couple of things I'm like, oh, I could do with them being better. What's happened here? Why is that, you know, trended down, or why is that not where I want it to be? And I just need to look back over my past behaviors, and there's my answer. I can find out exactly why. And I had a really good drive. I picked up and took my partner back And that was like a 4-hour round trip. So I had like 2 hours there sort of chatting in the car, which is really good because she has her own business as well. So we kind of were bouncing some ideas off each other, and she's into a gym and stuff as well. So we're just chatting about stuff. So just, we just had a bit of a to and fro on some of the things we were working on. And then I had 2 hours in the car just by myself with my tunes on, just thinking about stuff. And I just found myself looking back over the last 3 months, then the last year, looked at, you know, where I was relative to where I wanted to be. Some areas were just absolutely smashing it, super happy. Other areas, do you know what? Gone a little bit sideways. But I can look back at what I have and haven't done to get me to that. But the beautiful thing is, I used to beat myself up about this. If things were going wrong, I'd be like, you're fucking useless, you fucked up, you know. And sometimes I do more of the bad things, which would get me even further off track. Now I'm just like, cool, this is where you are. This is a point in time. Look at all the things you should and shouldn't have done. Well, let's do more of the things you should have done, less of the things you shouldn't have. Let's just start afresh. It's probably like what you have with people with their diets and stuff. And I'm sure I've seen you give advice like this. You know, if you have, I know it's not the thing anymore, but like, say, call it a cheat meal, or you have a splurge, or you just kind of, you know, go out one night and just fucking snort pizza and alcohol or whatever. Well, then it's just one night. Now, would it be better if you hadn't done that? Probably. But if you've got 365 days a year and you only have a handful of these nights, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to make much difference. If you're doing it every night, it's going to derail you pretty quickly. So if you have a bad night, a bad day, a bad incident, you go, okay, cool, that's happened. Draw a line under it. What can I do moving forward to get me back on track? And yeah, probably it is some hard things and a bit of sacrifice and some stuff necessarily that you don't want to do. But if you fuck up or you drop the ball, don't beat yourself up about it. Pick yourself up. Carry on.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, with that whole snorting pizza and that, one of the things that people can do is understand that kind of one bad day doesn't make a difference. If you can pretty much kind of reflect and go, okay, what did I have last night? And actually tallied it all up. And let's just say it was like 8,000 calories. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Well, firstly, actually seeing how much damage you've done within that day and knowing that it's not real damage, it's just that you overate on calories that one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then understanding that, you know, even if you're on 2,000 calories, now my maintenance is 3, but that's 14,000 calories for the week. So even if you were to budget it for a week and say, right, cool, well, I've eaten 8 of the 14 that I'm allowed,
mm-hmm.
that means you've got 5,000 calories for the rest of the week. And not that I would ever get somebody to reduce that down, but that kind of works out about 700 calories a day. So you could theoretically come in to the whole week still in a deficit. Extreme, of course, but then extreme one way means that you've got to go extremes the other way. You know, you've eaten 8,000 calories. I don't think you're going to be hungry for a few days.
Yeah.
So 700 calories is going to be a lot easier to consume.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing, like, if you are measuring stuff, even after you've done something and you can pretty much guesstimate it, you can resolve it because, once again, the timeline is endless until the day that you die.
Mm-hmm.
But we just seen, yes, we need a date in mind. Yes, we need to set these goals. But also, you know, one of the main reasons that we're doing all of this is to have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all hard stuff. But I will tell you now, when you do embrace hard stuff, your life gets easier because you can deal with so much more shit. I know some people who don't exercise, who have gained stupid amounts of weight, who are such a victim, who everything's everybody else's fault, everyone's blame. And I wouldn't like to spend a day in their shoes because they literally gravitate to a life of ease. They at least they try to not do as much as possible. And they are in so much pain from avoiding hard stuff that their life is difficult. Their life is hard.
What's that phrase? Choose your hard. Like, I got to be honest, like one of the things, and look, there is obviously a health benefit, and I'm going to talk about some business ones in just a moment, but I can now fit from the shop 34-inch jeans. I haven't been able to do that for, I'm going to say 6 years, 7 years maybe. And I can wear jeans from a shop now, which may seem like a really small little thing, but I fucking hate clothes shopping at the best of times. And I feel good. I feel confident. I'm happy to be naked. I was happy to be basically in my swim shorts in front of your audience, which is a lot of very, you know, healthy, fit people as well. I felt I held my own quite well there, to be honest with you, in that environment. But I wouldn't have felt that good, and that feeling of pride. I was, you know, and it may sound, for those of you who are in, you know, good shape or who haven't been overweight, you may not get this, but I was at Jay's event. You know, Jay's one of my best friends. Jay is, in, you know, phenomenal. Nick, obviously you help all different shapes and sizes of people. I know that, because I saw all different, you know, shapes and sizes of bodies. But if you'd have told me, let's say 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, yeah, I would be comfortable being in a very small pair of fluorescent turquoise swimming shorts in front of a load of people on a rugby pitch, diving. I was in the first group to get in the ice bath, and then hanging around just in my shorts chatting afterwards. I would have said absolutely no fucking way. No chance whatsoever. But I, as well as the actual feeling I got from the ice bath, which is an unusual high, kind of rush you get from it, I felt good. I was just able to just be myself. I felt good. I looked good. I'm in decent shape. It felt good. But that's off the back of having done hard things for a long period of time. There's lots of periods of my time where I didn't want to be seen without my top on, or, you know, just in a pair of boxer shorts or something like that. I wasn't comfortable. But doing those hard things gave me the result now that I have. And you mentioned something there, that the more you do these hard things, the easier it is to get to do them. And it's kind of a bit, it's like training for sort of strength, I would say, or some sort of athletic endeavor. The more you do it, the easier it becomes to be disciplined. Okay, so the more you practice discipline, the more you do hard things, the easier it is to do more hard things, and the more resilient you are against stuff. And you mentioned your friend there, who's, you know, I can't remember all the things you said, but is not in a good place. You put stress like that on someone's, you know, metaphorical or physical back, they crumble like a fucking crouton. They meet, you know, they'll reach out for food, for drink, their behaviors will change, they will withdraw, they'll hide into things. You know, this is, again, all perfectly acceptable coping mechanisms. You know, I'm not, listen, I'm talking to you now, knowing for a fact on holiday that I'm having fudge for breakfast every day. But I've also been looking forward to this, and I'm doing 2 training sessions a day, which I know is not the right answer, but I have literally go to Center Parks once a year with my mum and sister. I love the fudge there. I have fudge for breakfast and a protein shake. In my head, I like to call that balance. But I know full well when I'm coming back, because I've already booked this, I'm doing, and again, this is by choice, I've got my diet planned, I've got my nutrition planned, I've got an extra 4 sessions of PT a week planned. So I'm doing like MMA type stuff, which I wanted to learn. I am doing and embracing hard things. So I'm having a little break from doing some of the hard things, but I know full well that I am going to be embracing the hard stuff. And I know, so I've set myself a little goal between, so my birthday's in the middle of June, middle of April to the middle of June. And I'm going to keep these to myself, because I want to just say I've done them. Okay. I've set myself some little goals and some little targets. Yeah. To get to these targets, it's going to be challenging. It's not going to be back breaking. It's going to be challenging. And that's good. Challenge is good. So I now have to embrace hard things, doing stuff I don't want to do. At times, I don't want to do it because I want the end result, which I will get June onwards, if that makes sense. That's how I look at things now. And every time I set these little goals and these little challenges, it always, I can't explain to you if you haven't really done it or really gone all in before, but I can't explain where I will end up. I always know it's somewhere better. And better is off the back of hard things.
Yeah. George S. Patton said, "He who sweats more in training bleeds less in battle." And it adds to what I say. It's like, look, if you put the hard work in every single day, life gets easier. Because things will happen in your life. There'll be some plot twists. There'll be some surprises. There'll be some things that will come to test and challenge you. No, but shit. If you're ready for them, if you're fucking ready for them, it becomes so much easier to deal with. But, you know, don't wait for them to knock on your door to then have to deal with them. You can train yourself now. And, you know, I love my quotes, but it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener at war. And what it means like that, it's better to be, you know, like trained and ready for hell and not have to experience the shit then shit hit the fan and you're just a gardener, like, what the fuck do I do?
Yeah.
Don't be a gardener, be a warrior. And anybody can do that by training and doing hard things. And you get, to, as I said, you get to choose your hard. You know, your hard thing might just be getting out of bed today. You know, that might be your hard thing. Your hard thing might be just eating healthy for one day. Your hard thing might be just opting not to drink 4 cans of Stella tonight. Just opt for one. You know, you get to choose your hard, and it's just reducing down the thing that is fucking you up. And that's that really, can be a mass, and that's different for every single person.
And this is it. Like, you don't have to be, you know, beasting yourself with workouts, jumping into ice baths, you know, getting in a cage to fight people. You know, you don't have to sacrifice yourself and lie on a concrete floor every night. Like, your hard, my hard, everyone's hard is different. As Jay said, there's some really simple examples. And I did say I'd kind of talk about some of the business side of things as well. I think one of the most challenging things in business, and this is for those who have your own business, entrepreneurs, you know, those who are looking to do it, is when you're starting out and when you're growing stuff, it's not too scary. Okay. You get, because it kind of like, obviously, you know, you've got to work, you've got to show, if you don't do anything, nothing fucking happens. But then, all being well, you will get to a point where things sort of tip over the edge. You start getting traction, you start making more money and kind of all this kind of good stuff. The worst thing you can do when things are good is think they will stay good forever. I have fallen into this trap myself.
Same here.
And, you know, something that was working incredibly well for me many, many years ago, some years later, didn't. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? I repeated the same kind of launch process and the things that I'd done. And the data just showed me that it wasn't working like it used to. And I had a good few years of kept trying away with this thing. And this is before I had like the maturity I have in business now, before I realizing that I needed to make changes. And the key thing that I have to do and have, you know, dropped the ball myself back in my past, is staying current, is adapting, is continuing to grow, to continue to challenge myself, to learn new things, to push boundaries, to try new stuff. Because what happens is, as much as you want it to, and anyone listening who has a business, if you haven't had the dip yet, long may that period last, okay? But if things don't change, the dip will eventually come for you, okay? And it will happen. And it is scary because you're like, I'm doing everything the same. I haven't done anything different. Why is it not working? Why aren't people inquiring? Why are people leaving this or whatever? It's nothing wrong. You are not useless. You're not a failure. It doesn't mean your product or service isn't working anymore. But you have to adapt. You have to evolve. The needs of the market change. What people want change. Competition changes. Prices changes. Cost of things change. Everything fucking changes over time. And if you want to stay ahead, you have to learn how to adapt. Adapting in business when everything is working fine is really fucking hard. You know, I'm going through some changes in one of my businesses right now. As I mentioned earlier, it is a hard thing. But if I don't do these hard things now, which are going to, things that are going to be happening over the next few months, I'm going to have less time. I am going to be working quite a bit more. I will be having to get out of my comfort zone. I have to reach out to people, get more help in, you know, pay for some more subcontractors, you know, all that kind of stuff to get stuff done in time. I'm probably going to have in that particular business unit either a static or a dip for a period of time. None of these things. So my overheads are going to go up. My potential revenue may go down. I'm also going to be working more for it and not getting any fucking rewards. Doesn't that sound, quote me from earlier in the podcast here, Jay, like I'm sucking a lot of dick? Yes, it does. But if I don't go through this phase, and I have to get my clients to go through this phase, I have to help others go, I have to take my own fucking advice as well. If I don't go through this harder period, if I don't do hard stuff for a period of time, when my future rolls around, which sure as shit it fucking will, I'd have been like, why the fuck did I not do that back then? So if you're starting to see things trending down, not working like they used to, shit isn't kind of panning out as you hoped it would, don't throw baby out the bathwater. Like, me and Jay have this conversation probably once each per week. Of like, should we just burn it all to the ground? Do nothing. Like, yeah, obviously not a good idea. But you do have to do stuff that you don't want to do to keep ahead, okay? Nothing stays the same forever, as much as you like it. You know, me and Jay, you might think it's easy for me and Jay. We've both been around online, what, over a decade, safe to say? Okay, here's the things that you maybe don't understand from mine and Jay's perspective. We are not old, but we have been around a long time. We're not new, okay? Which might think, like, thing is, what the advice we've got and the information we've got is time-tested, it's worked. We've tested it with, you know, thousands of people across our various markets, but people always like new, because new is generally better. So, you know, one of the challenges that, and again, I hope I'm not speaking for you, that we have to be mindful of is we're not the new kids on the block anymore. We're not the exciting, shiny new thing. We've been around for a fair old while.
Yeah, and it's important that you might need to go Madonna on people every now and again and reinvent yourself and stay relevant. And you might not want to do that, and that's absolutely fine, you know. But at the end of the day, one of the things I always say, like, if you're, for me, for social media and you're building an audience, not only are you changing your mind and growing up and liking new things, so is your audience.
Yeah,
you know, the people that follow you, look, people that followed me at 26 are now also 39, you know, they and it's so amazing to have people that say, I followed you since those days, I followed you since those days. And it's so amazing that they're still following me and that I've changed so much as an individual. And you know, once again, that they're still on that journey with me. And I absolutely love that. But it's also understanding that you are going to have those changes. You're, once again, as Dan says, I went from having a business with about 220 clients to now two. And of course, if you think about that, from a business point of view, that's a lot.
That's a change.
A lot to, it's a lot to change. And taking 18 months really of looking like I'm going backwards. But as Dan said, and I will use a quote, for an arrow to hit its target, it has to be pulled backwards. And what you're doing is just, you know, shooting in a different direction, going backwards, so you can have a massive amount of traction forwards. And it's only this year where I started to see the fact that it's actually aiming in the right direction. It's taken probably best part of 2.5 years to, you know, move things around and change things. And, you know, I think I've spoken to Dan about this before, and I'm sure you've had this. I'm like, I asked Dan, and for those of you over 35, you'll understand this, but I've asked Dan and go, is Jeremy Beadle really dead? Because I feel like he's going to pop out in a minute and just go, aye. And for those of you who are under the age of 35, there was a bit like, I think some people might remember Ashton Kutcher's Punked. Some people will know, some people have seen Anton Deck, where they have a thing in their ear and they prank people.
Yeah, pranking. Jeremy Beadle was our prankster.
Yeah, I thought somebody's come out and just say the last 2 years was a big show, and we're just going to throw loads of shit at Jay and see how he deals with it. And then we're just going to come out of the woodworks and go, surprise, it was all a joke. We just wanted to make your life stupidly difficult and stressful for 2 years.
Mate,
that's what actually helped me go through.
I have a similar thing. Morgan Freeman voice in my head. It's just like, I'll say something, I'll catch myself saying something like, everything's fine. And then it'll be like, I'll actually say this Morgan Freeman voice. Little did he know, everything was not fine. And it's just like my own little way of just going, lol, thanks universe. And it's like, I was chatting with my friend the other day, and it's like, I don't want any more lessons. I've learned everything. I don't want any more lessons. They're not. I'm done. I've learned all the things. I don't want to learn anything more. No more learning. But as much as you want things to stay, you know, if things are good, by the way, if they're not good, then yeah, of course, change is fantastic. But as much as you might want things to stay the same or want an easy life, you're not going to get it. You might for a period of time. I feel unbelievably blessed that I've had a nice run of ease for a period of time. I've really enjoyed it, especially after all the years of hustle to get to where I was, and then the shit show that was 2020 with my, you know, we all had with the pandemic and with losing Dad and getting run over and all that kind of stuff. Like, I feel unbelievably grateful. I've had a couple of years of ease and I've really fucking enjoyed it. But I now need to knuckle down and do more hard stuff, which is okay, because what got me to where I was doing hard stuff. That's it. And that, Dan, seems like forever ago, but it was like eight, nine years ago that I was, probably 10 years ago I started, so 9 years ago, and I was properly going, batshit for all the stuff I was doing. I've done it once, I'm going to do it again. And it's quite exciting. I'm looking, I've got a new business launching, I'm changing some things, I'm changing my branding around. These are all things that are not easy or straightforward or relatively comfortable, but they're things that I need to do. And often, there's, I think, Ryan Holiday, the obstacle is the way. Most of you listening, if you're really honest with yourself, just like really honest and kind of say, right, I'm not happy with this, or this isn't going to plan. If you just take a moment, you'll probably think the thing that you're avoiding, the uncomfortable conversation, the hard work, the challenging decision you got to make, the sacrifices that you need to do, the things you need to stop doing that you love doing that aren't really that good for you. You probably know the thing. You probably know what it is you need to do or not do. And that decision is probably going to be quite hard to both make and fulfill on. But as I've touched on multiple times on this, a version of you that doesn't exist yet is relying on you to make those hard decisions and do those hard things now. It doesn't last forever. It's not a forever thing. For me, I like periods of hard work and effort and pushing myself and that sort of stuff. And I like to give it timescales and deadlines to do things, because that helps to sharpen my mind in it, and it focuses me on the task at hand. But it's a, I'm going you here, okay? This is a cheesy fucking quote, but I do love it. But it's like, hard times don't last, hard people do. And that doesn't mean you have to lose your humanity, be an asshole, be alpha, or any of that nonsense, okay? You just got to stay hard. And I'm not talking about dicks again, but you just got to endure and do the thing sometimes that you don't want to do. Because eventually, the you and the version of your life and business that you want will appear. Don't know how long it's going to be. Everyone's different. Everyone is different. But for me, every time I have truly embraced doing hard stuff with a goal in mind, with a plan, what materializes at the end is better than I can often have ever have imagined.
I think that is a perfect time to end this incredible podcast.
It's a good one today.
Some really good wisdom there, Dan. And
thanks, mate.
I've written an entire book on this called Hard Stuff, Easy Life. I'll put the link in below, because pre-orders are now there. And if you do want to order it, you can do from hardstuffbook.com. Dan, is there anything that you'd like to pitch at the end of this, since we don't have any sponsors?
Yeah, what have I got? Obviously, yachts, cars, gold, jewelry, watches, as always, taken in tribute to myself. Fine. What I will say is, if you don't pre-order Jamie's book, Why Do You Hate Him? That's a bit cruel. So that's not very nice. I'll just say this. Obviously, with these bits, this wasn't planned at the end of the podcast. I have had a glimpse behind the scenes. It wasn't the book. Jamie's told me a lot of what's going into it. I've pre-ordered it. I've got a lot of my friends to pre-order it. It's good. It's going to be good. And I've seen Jay's work firsthand. I got to experience it a couple of weeks ago in person. He knows his stuff. It's going to be a good book. So yeah, I've got nothing to sell today at all. I mean, if anyone wants any coaching or wants any help or advice with their business or life, feel free to reach out. You can just ask me questions as well. I do like to help people. You can just ask, but there's the odd spot or two available probably if I shuffle things around. But yeah, nothing really to pitch. Just, get on Jay's book. It is good. And it's going to be a good read.
Awesome. Ladies and gents, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Body and the Beast. As always, I have been your body, Jamie Lawton.
And I've been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.